Chapter 3, First Realization. Summary. Peter meets a colleague at the bar. After that, Peter started coming to the bar a few times a week, either in evenings when he didn't patrol, or for a drink or a quick bite before he went out. A few days after the first meeting, Matt and Clint were back in the bar too. This time, Clint was wearing his hearing aids, and both of them seemed much more put together and sane than they did the first time.
Hey, Peter.
Matt said, as the photographer approached their table without turning around.
I asked you to stop doing that.
Clint complained. He had jumped a little when Matt started speaking and turned around to see if Peter was actually there.
It's creepy, right?
He asked, instead of a greeting.
Not really. I can recognize a bunch of people by sound alone, too. And turning around doesn't really make a difference when one's not going by sight anyway.
He shrugged and took a free seat at the table.
Stupid enhanced senses.
Clint grumbled, making Matt chuckle and lean over to press a light kiss to his head. When they turned their attention back to Peter, Matt was the first to speak.
I'm really sorry about last time. What we did was way out of line. I had a full plan on how to handle the whole situation. But when it was time to execute it, I was already not able to keep a straight thought.
Clint snorted, but before he could make a stupid joke, Matt kicked him under the table.
I didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable, and I didn't mean to force you to tell us your secret identity. I have a little bit of experience with secret identities, and usually I don't slip up. I hope you still trust me.
We're hit with some kind of experimental drug on a mission, and we're kind of out of it for a while. I don't remember much, but from what Tony and Bruce said, we did some pretty embarrassing things.
Clint added, his gaze fixed on the table and fiddling with his bottle. It was clear to Peter that they actually felt really bad.
Nah, it's fine. I can get to some pretty embarrassing stuff too when I'm drunk. And you didn't even do that part on purpose. Bucky and Steve explained everything to me.
Right. Steve was here to take us home that day.
Clint screwed up his face, trying to remember. Then he shook his head in disbelief.
Blackout drunk is nothing against the holes in my brain from that stuff. Whatever it was, I really hope they don't make more of it.
Matt opened his mouth as if to say something. Then he looked confused and irritated instead. He held his head tilted and turned towards the door a little. Now that he focused on it, Peter noticed someone outside, and a second later the door opened and the look of irritation on Matt's face got stronger. A young man, dressed in dark clothes and a black jean jacket, entered, but Peter couldn't see anything special about him except...
Eddie?
He asked as the man turned and Peter recognized his colleague. Both photographers were a little confused to meet each other, and something was still bothering Matt, even if he didn't talk about it. With an annoyed sigh, Clint gestured for the new guy to sit on the last empty seat at their table.
I don't know what's wrong with him. He does that sometimes.
He said, nudging Matt a little before offering Eddie a hand.
Hi, I'm Clint. What brings you to this fine establishment?
A friend told me about this bar, and they said it might help me figure things out if I don't have just straight people to talk to. So, yeah.
You're just starting to figure things out? Look, Matty, a baby queer. I like baby queers. Don't worry, it's all much less complicated than it seems at first.
Clint's excitement seemed to finally distract Matt from whatever he had sensed, and he offered his hand too.
I'm Matt. Don't mind him. He sometimes gets a little too excited. But he is right in saying that labels and stuff like that are a lot less complicated than they seem at first.
So, you're still figuring things out?
Peter asked a little shyly.
Yeah.
Eddie answered, while letting his gaze wander through the bar and over to the other patrons.
I don't know where I fall yet, but I don't think I'm straight either.
That's fine. You don't have to know everything at once. And it's totally okay to decide on one label now and change it later when you find something else that fits you better.
Yeah, a lot of people I know have gone through multiple labels before they found the right one. And sometimes I'm still questioning myself.
Clint added. While he talked, Matt got up and said,
I'm getting another round. Do you want to drink something too?
Just beer is fine, thanks.
Eddie answered. Peter gestured with his half-empty bottle to signal he didn't need a new one.
Do you already have something in mind?
He asked Eddie.
You said you don't think you're straight. Do I read that right as you don't think you're gay either?
I'm not sure. It's not that I don't find women attractive, it's more that I don't think men are unattractive either.
He explained, busying himself with a stack of beer mats he found on the table.
That's fair. I'm bi, and Matt's pan, so we're fully on your side there.
Clint shrugged, taking the last sip of his beer.
And you?
Eddie turned to Peter.
If you don't mind me asking?
Peter shrugged.
Somewhere in that territory, I guess. I haven't quite figured that out since...
He cut himself off. So far, no one at the Daily Bugle knew he was trans, and he liked it that way. but on the other hand, Eddie seemed pretty open about LGBTQ things, and if he wanted this friendship to go anywhere, it was probably a good idea to be honest from the start.
Since what?
Eddie asked, while Peter was still frantically trying to make the right decision. He took a deep breath and decided to just go for it. It was better to find out if Eddie was an ass now than after he'd already gotten attached.
Since I started transitioning.
He answered, not daring to look up at Eddie and unconsciously peeling the sticker off his bottle again.
Oh, you're trans?
Eddie asked, but he sounded more surprised than anything else.
I didn't know that.
That's the idea.
Peter mumbled. Then he sat up straight again and cleared his voice.
I don't talk much about it. And I'd prefer if no one else knows about it. For now, at least.
Sure.
Eddie nodded and shrugged. For a moment, no one said anything else until Matt came back to the table and handed Clint and Eddie their beers before sitting down and throwing an arm around Clint's shoulder.
So, what do you think about the bar? Better than the other one?
He asked Peter in a teasing voice.
Yeah, much better. I can actually relax and calm down after a long day here without having to worry about how others perceive me. I didn't think that was possible without...
He looked at Eddie again, but he was still relaxed.
Without surgery.
Yeah, it can be hard. It took me ages to feel comfortable in my body, and I still have days when I don't want anyone to look at me, even years later.
Matt agreed, and Clint added,
Yeah, some days are just worse, but here, I don't worry about it as much.
What am I missing?
Eddie asked, confusion clear in his expression. Clint chuckled a little, and Matt answered.
Clint and I are dating, and we're both transmasc as well.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. And how'd you meet?
For a second, both stiffened, barely visible, and Clint's eyes flickered between Peter and Eddie, but when Matt spoke, nothing of that was noticeable anymore.
I'm a lawyer, and my partner and I were working on a big case that involved the Avengers. We had a few meetings at the tower with Tony's legal team, and one day this clumsy guy literally ran into me when I was on my way out.
He put extra emphasis on the word literally and nudged Clint a little when he said it.
In my defense, the coffee maker wasn't working. I didn't have my hearing aids in and I'd been on a mission all night. I actually didn't notice him.
Clint answered, and it was clear that they had told the story many times before.
And if I hadn't, you wouldn't have had a reason to talk to me.
Nah.
Matt waved his hand in an either-or kind of gesture and got an elbow to the ribs for it.
But it does make a good story, at least. Better than Nat and Maria.
Clint pouted, and Matt pressed a light kiss to his cheek.
Mission?
Eddie asked, and turned to Peter, who chuckled a little. But before he could answer, Clint did so.
Mission, operation, stakeout, call it what you like. I sat on a futzing roof all night trying to keep Nat's and Steve's asses from being busted.
Eddie didn't seem less confused. If anything, he was more questioning Clint's sanity. Now full and laughing at his expression, Peter explained.
Clint Barton. As in Hawkeye, the Avenger.
Why do people always see the need to add that?
Clint turned to Matt.
No one thinks it's necessary to say Captain America, the Avenger, or Iron Man, the Avenger. But when do you ever catch someone trying to introduce me without clarifying?
I mean, how famous can you be if even someone working for the Bugle doesn't recognize you?
Matt teased for a moment, then pulled Clint into a tighter hug.
You're just not as much in the limelight as the others. And you have to admit that that is at least partly on purpose.
You sound like Kate.
Clint complained. For a few minutes, they kept talking until Eddie excused himself to go to the bathroom.
He doesn't know, right?
Clint asked, leaning over the table towards Peter.
Because this whole conversation would be a lot easier without the keeping of the secrets.
No, he doesn't. And I've been working really hard on keeping it that way.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Clint nodded.
Don't worry about it. As you might have noticed, we've perfected the game of pretending to be a civilian and a hero dating.
So that wasn't actually how you two met?
Peter asked. He was almost sure about it, but the story had been convincing.
Something very similar happened, but it's not how we met.
Clint agreed, but before he could say more, Matt pulled him back into a sitting position.
And we're happy to tell you another time, but not now.
He put enough emphasis on the last word that Peter and Clint both looked at the bathroom door just in time for it to open again.